now available for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. It's the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
All right, here we go. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Woo!
All right, big start to the show today.
Yeah.
Corey and Joel are back with a hot new show for you. Made fresh every week. You should have Rob say that.
Yeah. We gotta get, well, Rob will be on his honeymoon soon.
Yeah, Rob, we'll talk about Rob's wedding. You win.
Sure.
And we'll talk about Rob got married. Congratulations to Rob and Kim.
Yeah. Rob Rose, our stalwart announcer.
Yes.
An actual human being, not a robot.
But we're back. We're actually human beings. And we're here, Corey and Joel.
I would really hesitate to call us that.
We're humans.
Yeah, so we're something.
Corey bot.
We're alive. But
doing our thing for you here on this beautiful April afternoon.
Oy.
Something like that. This is actually beautiful compared to the last 3 days in Detroit. It's been raining. This is the 1990s, called Cookies is the album.
Yeah, they should call it the 1980s.
Well, they're a little skinny tie.
Yeah, they are.
A little bit.
They sound like the Knack.
Well, you know, they have a new album out.
That's a bad thing, but I'm just saying. You know,
that's their album from a couple years ago. And apparently they have a new one out that I've not heard.
The 90s
yet,
was like CNC Music Factory. And,
well,
you know.
Maybe they're being.
Pearl Jam.
They're being
ironical.
Being ironic. But the rock and rollers are all now. They're all ironic.
So, speaking of our wonderful Midwestern weather here, there's like a rain, there's like a thunderstorm that keeps kind of lingering.
Well, I saw that there was like some special warning. Like, it was raining for almost since Sunday. It's been raining. Today we got some sun this afternoon, and then like a couple showers ran through.
Yeah.
Now they're saying we could get hail before like 8 p.m. tonight. Which is only like an hour away.
But it's 76 on Friday.
Some jackhole had 82 for Saturday on the news.
Generally, you discover living in this pocket of hell that is the Rust Belt, and be that Chicago or Detroit or Cleveland or any of these cities around here, if you get a warm day, it's generally because that's a pocket of warm air being pushed by something nasty.
Yeah, that's true. Usually it's followed by...
But this seems to be the inverse. Crappy. It seems the warm weather's pushing the rainstorm forward.
Well, we had really good weather last weekend, which was followed by 3 days of rain.
Yeah.
You know, it was really nice Friday and Saturday, and then this.
Yeah.
And now we're stuck in the middle, and whatever.
Boy. And so. Marquette, the wonderful fudge-scented oasis you just went to, they got like 5-6 inches of snow.
Oh, did they really?
Oh, yeah.
See, there was when I was in the UP, there was like snow on the ground. Like it had fallen probably within, it was so warm that it would have melted anyway, but there was just, you know, there's like a glacier pack of ice from this, you know, of packed down snow, but all the snowmobilers had gone, so there wasn't enough to even do that anymore. So it was pretty much getting to be spring up there when I was there, and then they got another few inches last night, so.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Well, hey, look.
At least we're not there.
We're in you know, Detroit, Michigan, a fairly northern city.
Sure.
Marquette is 7 to 8 hours north of here.
Absolutely.
And Yellowknife is another 1,500 miles.
We did our travelog.
I just want to put into perspective.
Well, apparently, we've gotten no offers, official or unofficial, to actually go to Yellowknife. No one's met our demand yet.
Well.
I can't believe it.
Did we throw in an Eskimo hooker?
You want 1,500 and an Eskimo hooker?
I might go 1,400 and ask.
Oh, okay. So the 100 for the.
You know, it'll be reasonable. I'll shave off. I'll build in.
Somebody, what was
I'll build in the price points.
There was somebody. Who was it? The guy saying, was some TV show, and a guy was saying he used to go to Alaska.
Yeah.
And just drink in Alaska because there were like whorehouses and you could drink for cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd go up there every summer to get loaded.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who was saying that?
I forget. It was some guy.
Thank you, some guy. Thanks for the clarity of that.
Yeah,
well,
it wasn't on Cartoon Network. It was an actual human
with testicles.
You know what it was? It was some guy. I'm trying to remember. It was some guy who was like in rehab or something. They were talking about. I forget what it was. I'd have to.
I saw a movie once about the making of the Alaskan pipeline.
Yeah.
And how it was just the Wild West out there.
Yeah.
And it was like guys walking around with $5,000 bills and their, you know, $5,000 wads in their pockets.
Sure.
Yeah, they brought in strip clubs and all kinds of, and they said for like 3 years Anchorage was like Las Vegas. They brought in like all these nightclubs and people were rerouting their tours up there because they had all these guys up there welding and you know, working on the pipeline.
Yeah. Well, that's maybe we should go there instead of.
Well, that's Yellowknife now. Is
any
a diamond
fans
mine
in Anchorage
boom.
Want to send us up there? We'll go there. We'll go to Anchorage.
I'm vaguely curious about Alaska. I think it might be kind of cool. But there's so many other places I'd rather go.
Bill Hildebrand loves it up there. He goes up there on the boat every couple times a year, and he says it's great.
Yeah.
But I think you don't want to be there in winter.
No.
Yeah.
There's like 2 weeks you want to be
there. Who was the guy was interviewing? They were interviewing this guy, and he was like, yeah, well, you go up there, and it's only like, oh, I know exactly who was saying all this shit. It was Doug Stanhope, the comedian.
Oh.
Stanhope was on Howard. I was listening to that when I was driving through the UP. And Stanhope says he was such a drunk, he would just go up to Anchorage and just get fucked up because it would be, he said it wasn't like bright, he said it would only get dusk-like at 3 a.m.
Right.
That would be as dark as it would get. So he could, like, you know, you could walk around all night in the daylight and get loaded, and there were whorehouses and all kinds of shit.
Dave Attell went up there and did his show when it was sunlight.
Yeah.
And he was like, he lost all track of time.
Yeah.
Didn't know what the hell was going on. It was sunlight in the middle of the night.
I was like, what derelict interview did I listen to of a guy who went to Anchorage? And it was Doug Stanhope, which makes
sense. That sounds very much like Doug Stanhope.
Yeah, it does. So, anyway.
Well, Joel.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's appropriate to talk about the weather and
this
wild climate of ours because it's Earth Day.
Oh, is it really? I guess
it
is.
Yeah, yes, it is.
No one's hearing this on Earth Day.
Well, we're taping on Earth Day, and so let's.
What have we done to save
what have
the
we
Earth?
Done for the Earth?
Boy. Yeah. All right, next time I jack off, I'll just use water to clean up instead of a tissue. Is that fair?
Well,
that save a tree.
You know what it is? It's
if I just try to
steps, Joel. Here's how about this: jerk off into a warm washcloth.
Oh, ooh.
That way, you know, reusable. That's
there you go.
They say, look, forget paper or plastic. They tell you to bring your own bag to the shopping
cart. Bring a rag.
You know, get a, and some of these markets will sell you a bag.
Sure.
Get your own rag. That's what I'm saying.
Get a ShamWow.
That's, yeah.
There you go.
ShamWow.
There it is.
That's an Earth Day tip.
Yeah, but then you have to buy the ShamWow and that, there's shipping and that could just.
But it's a one-time cost.
You think?
Right.
I have a ShamWow type rag.
Really?
No, I have one. I can get it right now. It's in the other room.
I don't need to see that.
I have one. No. I mean, it's like a brand new thing. I've never used it.
Should we try this out?
If you want. It's. I don't think it's a real. Let me get
Should
it.
Should we circle jerk a ShamWow? Is that what we're going to do today? Is that gonna-
I can see.
It's little.
Well, you have a glass of water. You could see if it would soak up that water.
Mm.
It's some sort of.
Joel, it's baby steps. Everybody can be involved in
this
saving
is
the earth.
Some sort of super chamois rag.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I want to see this.
It's brand new. You can tell. I haven't used it or anything.
Look at this. Look at this. You can fold it. You can bend it. Why buy paper towels? You can suck up blood. Look at this. You can punch a hooker in the face.
Yeah.
Suck the blood right up. Suck up the blood, Joel.
There you go. But I don't know. That's what they...
The pus from her infected vagina, you suck it right up with the ShamWow.
There you go.
It's a chamois. Where did you get the chamois?
I don't know. My dad bought a bunch of them, but this was a while ago. I don't know if he bought the ShamWow.
I'm going to test this.
Those have been around for a while, like the rags of... Now, don't spill it, dude! No, you, Corey. Oh... Well, that absorbed that.
I wasn't going to dump the whole thing.
I was going to say, turn it over. See if there's any on the other side.
See.
It's doubled.
How?
Oh, it's dry on the other side. So one layer of ShamWow got that, right? Oh, there's a little bit on the other side.
A little bit on the other side.
No, you need to like ball that thing up and see if it'll soak up that whole glass of water. That would be a test.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to see what it, you know.
But that was pretty good though, right?
Well, it didn't go through the whole, it's a towel folded in half and it didn't go through the whole towel. So.
Right.
I guess that's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know.
We need to get Nadia in here to really test this thing.
Wad that thing up and
well, what
shove
we'll
it
do
up
is her. We'll dip it in gin, rum, and vodka, and then we'll just drain it into her mouth.
Oh, I thought we'd just shove it up her hoo-ha, and she could absorb the liquor through her vagina.
Look, there's some things man-made technology can't handle, okay?
Yeah, that would that be wrong if we did that?
Oh, God, boy.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Trying to entertain our audience, man. That's it.
Are you?
Yeah, why not?
Did we talk about the ShamWow guy beating up a hooker?
I don't know. I mean, everyone talked about
every him. Comic on Earth, by the way, you and I both had ShamWow jokes.
I know. My joke isn't a hack joke, though, at least. I'm not going to do it here, but I, you know. Yeah, you mention it and it gets a reaction. Anytime you mention, like, there is a list of hack jokes and commercial slogans are always considered hack.
Yeah.
Like, if you end your joke with, you know.
Right.
Just one pop and you can't stop.
Hi-oh.
That's like a hack. Right. That's considered a hack.
Joke. Crunch all you want. We'll make more.
Yeah,
hi-oh.
You know, whatever. Yeah, I mean, whatever slogan is out there, you know, like, you know.
Where's the beef? I still see guys doing that.
You see guys doing where's the beef jokes?
Look, the thing is the sham. Okay, Vince Schlomi, the guy who plays, who sells the ShamWow and also the Slap Chop, which I think I prefer that commercial a little bit.
No,
he went and slap chopped a hooker in Atlantic City. Was it?
It was in Miami. But the story was that he kissed the hooker and she bit his tongue.
Yeah,
and so he started beating on her.
Right.
Which so you could say he was doing it in self defense.
His tongue, and then TMZ had the photos, and it was a bloody mess.
Yeah.
But don't be kissing hookers. That's an important.
They tell you not to kiss him because that's too intimate. If you're
unless you're at the Bunny Ranch or something, and those are some high class broads, you know.
Hookers got their own rules. Like you can't kiss me they and do. Stuff. It's like, what's your problem?
They got their own rules.
They're like, you know, what are you doing?
Bilk money out of men and live in a dream world until you get some kind of HIV. Those are the important rules. For
I don't know. Apparently, he double bagged it. That was because they showed the bed and they were like. There were two discarded condoms in the bed, if you saw that on TMZ.
Well, maybe he had a misfire.
Maybe.
First one.
I don't know.
Sometimes you got to try on a couple. It's like that scene.
So he did fuck her. He's probably out of like, what is that? What happens?
It's like that scene in the 40-year-old version where they're, you know, he has to try on a dozen condoms to get them right.
I don't know.
So there you go. Get ready for every hack comedian on earth coming to your town. Next.
Well, you started it, man.
I did, but that, see, for me, that's, I did, used to have a Larry Craig joke in my act.
Yeah, well, see, that's why, okay, comedy rules will tell you if you don't, if you don't work, you know, topical, in other words, you don't do stuff right out of the newspaper.
Yeah, but see,
it'll stick around a little more.
No, that's okay, I don't mind doing, you know, it'd be one line, and, you know, I don't mind throwing in a line that only has a shelf. That Larry Craig, I rode the Larry Craig for 6 months, but then, you know.
You can do it for that long, but then you got to write news. Because I used to have jokes. Here's a joke I did. Remember there was a guy. There was a guy in the first month that Bush took office that, like, shot through the White House gates. Do you remember that?
Yeah, sure.
And I, like, went up on stage the night of that happened and was like, yeah, they're already shooting at Bush. And people went crazy.
Right.
Like they already hate this guy, and it was.
But
it was
that
great.
Had about a week of.
About a week. Now, if you said the guy who shot at Bush, no one would even know what you're talking about.
Right.
You could do like throwing the shoe.
The
or
shoe
something.
Would
you could
probably
do
have
that.
Some
yeah.
mileage. Yeah.
I actually do a throwing the shoe joke that I do once in a while. But that just tags on to something else I did, and then I had a joke, and this is fairly common too, and I can't do it anymore. And certainly, if you see a guy doing this. Remember the astronaut that wore a diaper and drove to shoot the rival or whatever? There were lots of jokes about that, and I had one. I forget what it was.
Yeah.
But again, you know, and it was funny, but you can't do that joke anymore.
No, see, the Larry Craig bit I would tie into a gay marriage thing.
Right.
That had a longer value. But the Larry Craig was kind of a tag on the front of it.
It was a tag. It's a tag.
Yeah, no, well, sometimes if a guy would go to the bathroom and be like, hey, watch out for senators in there.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You do that kind of stuff.
That's not specific, so that could
you have matter. To. If you get specific, make sure that you write something around it that's not specific.
That's
like
true.
Senators having sex scandals is not a rare
right.
occurrence.
Right? Yeah, you could. Yeah, this
somebody
could
in Congress doing something stupid is not rare. You can go back to that. Well,
but in that case,
I'm with you. If you go, hey, how about that Columbine massacre? Right. I mean, well, whatever.
So
that one lasted a while, but
all right. I agree. No, I agree. I think you're right about that. I think you're right. If you tag it or if you sort of. Do it as sort of a throwaway reference, and people don't get it. It's okay
because
you have the substance of the joke, and then you have like a little extra laughter.
Comics will
giggle.
Comics will act like every joke has to last the rest of their lives.
There's still guys doing Monica Lewinsky jokes.
Sure,
there's guys who do Reagan. I've seen guys do Reagan material on the road, and
a lot of comics act like it's the Depression, and they have to hold every joke.
Well,
it is the Depression. It's the Depression 2.0. But
they can't write a joke. It's kind of the problem.
Right.
There's a guy who does Harry Carey
as
his closing bit.
Right.
Now, look, Harry Carey people kind of knew when he was alive and stuff, but now most people outside of Chicago wouldn't know from Harry Carey.
Guy.
Yeah, you know the guy I'm talking
about. He does 20 minutes of Harry Carey.
Yeah, it's not even good because, you know, like...
And in Detroit, it dies.
Right.
Because people vaguely know who Harry Carey is because Will Ferrell did it.
Yeah, that's almost what people know him... People, if you know Harry Carey, you almost know him from Will Ferrell doing it, not really... From the actual guy.
That would be like going to Arizona and doing Ernie Harwell material.
Well, I think Carey transcends it a little bit more, but not much.
But he's mostly a Chicago guy.
What I would say about that bit is if you were doing funny material, as Harry Carey, it might work, but the guy's just doing like a bad impression.
Thank you for reminding me of how terrible that was.
Do you remember that guy? Yeah. He's a nice guy, too. He's from Chicago.
I didn't even remember the guy's name. I just remember him doing 20 minutes of Harry Carey.
I completely know it, and I refuse to say it on the air because he's a nice guy, and he doesn't deserve that. But
Hacky Suckelstein.
Exactly. Well, God damn it. I'm going to have to cut that out now.
What?
Hacky Suckelstein.
I gave away his real name.
Yeah, because then Hacky's going to call me and bitch, and it's just a pain in the ass.
Well, his cousin.
What's his cousin? Who's his cousin?
Shecky Schitzberg.
Oh, I knew him. But
keeps a mustache for one joke.
I didn't know they were. There's a guy that has a mustache for one joke?
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
I don't know.
He's a very friendly comedian.
Really?
The first joke out of his mouth, he references
a character from television that he looks like,
and he's got a mustache.
Yeah, that guy's,
right?
That guy's, yeah.
And he's like, I can't shave the mustache.
Oh, did he say that to you?
Because then the joke is gone.
He said that privately.
Yeah.
There's a guy who says he looks like Ned Flanders. And
well,
he's
now you're giving away more than I do.
Well, I don't know. I don't know anything to that guy.
Well, Shecky Schitzberg will be
Shecky
a very
Schitzberg.
And Hacky Suckelstein.
Look for those guys. It's a double bill. It's coming it down near you.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of hack comedy, I have a little announcement out there.
Uh-oh. Go ahead. Drum roll.
Our good friend Sal D'Amelio.
Sal D'Amelio.
Did Bob and Tom this week.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Is he going to be on that TV show?
That's a good question. And
It's on every night, and I've watched it like once.
We should probably tape it and see.
What day was he on?
I think he was on yesterday.
Oh, so it would be on TV. It probably would have been on TV yesterday.
Well, no, it usually takes a day or two.
Does it really?
To edit the show now.
All right,
yeah.
maybe we should see
if it's on tonight.
I'll set the DVR. Should I do that?
Yeah.
All right.
Take a look for that.
Should I do it now or should we do
maybe
it
at the break? I don't know if we're missing it now, but whatever.
All right.
WGN tends to replay stuff.
Well, I've seen it on the weekend too, but I think they take the best one of the week.
They told Sal that they would tape the whole show.
Yeah.
And then.
Sure.
What they do 5 hours a day?
Yeah.
So what they do is, you know, they can take two episodes of the radio show and cut it into
a
week and a half of TV. So I don't know how long it is on TV.
All right. You know how long it is? It's too long. It's a horrid show, and I feel I'm glad Sal's doing it. It's good promotion.
Here's the thing about Bob and Tom. No one in Detroit, Sal will go, I'm on Bob and Tom, and everybody in Detroit will go, crickets and, you know. Tumbleweeds will roll by and people will look on in complete befuddlement. What are you saying?
Yeah.
Because Bob and Tom is a radio show that is not in most major markets.
No.
In fact, Cincinnati is probably the biggest market.
A lot of real small markets in the Midwest for the most part.
They have Indianapolis and Cincinnati and a couple towns like that. But by and large, they're nowhere. As soon as you get out of civilization, you can pick up Bob and Tom. If you're in Bowling Green, Ohio, you get Bob and Tom. If you're in Sheboygan, Michigan, you can get Bob and Tom. But the only time I've ever heard Bob and Tom is when I'm on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the only time I've ever heard.
Yeah. You know, like driving home.
And they largely interview comedians. That's more or less the show.
Right.
They have comics in, and the comics do their material, and they kind of laugh at it in the studio. And that's the show. I mean, I know that sounds.
It's the typical wacky morning show, except these guys have no energy left anymore.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's not even like, hey, waka, waka, waka. It's like. Bob.
But it's also like they play like just on end, like they'll play just a huge block of like comic, like song parodies and stuff comics do on their CDs and bits, and they'll just like string it all together. And to me, that's awful. Yeah. I mean, that's just horrible fucking radio.
Basically, they get comedians to do their show.
Right. Basically, comedians come on, they entertain while Bob and Tom sit there and collect a check, more or less.
Sure.
But comics, it works for some comics because they can play these towns where the show's on and actually draw people from it. So that's good.
It's good for comics, yeah. It's a horrible show to listen to.
But it's not fun to listen to.
And it's going
to
be good for Sal.
Yeah.
Because there are plenty of towns where that means something.
Yeah, and if Sal goes and plays them,
it doesn't mean diddly squat in Detroit or Chicago
or
Cleveland. But if you go to, say, Fenton, I bet people have heard
of
Bob and
Tom. The problem is when the smaller towns don't have. If you have an original morning show, what are you going to do?
Right.
There's really nothing to talk about in some of these towns. So you play music or you just get Bob and Tom and at least it sounds like something's going on, you know?
Right.
Like you've got guests, you've got...
Right.
See, what I was always told about from guys who do Bob and Tom, that they tape their show in Indianapolis, but you can't do anything that's specific to Indianapolis. Like you usually do Bob and Tom when you're playing one of the Indianapolis clubs. They get you in there. That's probably what Sal's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And but you cannot be specific about the fact that you're in Indianapolis because they want it to be like local to every town they do.
Sure.
So you'll plug your shows in other towns and stuff, too.
But then you get a show without an identity or a place.
Well, but that's what they want.
Right.
They can sell it to these little hick towns.
But it makes it suckier. But, yeah,
well,
I know.
It makes it suckier for me and you, but if you're in a hick town and the option is, you know, country music morning show or Bob and Tom.
That's what Mancow's now in a lot of small markets.
Yes, yes, because he's lost every...
He's lost every market. Yes, I know. So, but that's, you know what? That's how guys like Limbaugh is in every little town.
Yeah.
Because it's just easier to take, you know...
Sure.
Take an hour, right. an hour 3 hours of Rush Limbaugh and plug that hole with that.
Absolutely.
And that's how all these guys get, these syndicated guys get huge.
Yeah.
But good for Sal. And if you're watching WGN, watch for Bob and Tom.
And maybe you'll see the big ragu on there.
You'll probably see a guy doing a Harry Carey bit for 20 minutes. But you might see our big Italian himself, yeah. Sal D'Amelio.
Well, I watched it once and they were doing, I swear to God, it was
the
like...
The big ragu.
It was a 20-minute phoner with Bob Zaney. So, like, there was just, like, Bob Zaney's headshot was on the screen.
Sure.
And you were listening to Bob Zaney on the phone.
Yeah.
And, like, Bob Zaney's okay. I mean, nothing wrong with Bob Zaney, but... I mean, is a phoner with him really compelling radio?
No.
Like, you and I would maybe do a phoner with Bob Zaney, but that's you and I. You know what I mean? Like, we're not even...
We did a 20-minute phoner with Russ Brown.
Oh, God, heavens. I hope people got something out of that Russ Brown segment, which...
I know it kills you.
No, because it's...
I think it's an interesting...
It's interesting.
The rock stories, to me, are interesting.
It was interesting in that we don't... Sure. I didn't legitimately haven't talked to Russ until I talked to him. On the air last week. Yeah. I didn't know what he was up to. I know you had talked to him off the air.
Yeah.
But I legitimately didn't know, so it was interesting. But then when I was editing the show, I went like, oh, God, Russ did like 23 minutes.
Well, the problem, you
And it was kind of like,
you have to hang up on Russ.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, it was fine. I just think 23 minutes on the phone was a lot. And, you know, and of course, we followed it up with about 7 minutes of Jody and Jamie from L.A., which I don't know if that was any better than...
Comedian is much harder than it looks. I mean, really, people look at me and they laugh.
Is that Jody and Jamie from L.A.?
That is.
Is that it? Yeah. So anyway, Jody and Jamie, they called
it... I like a woman with meat on her bones.
People hated that show, apparently.
They called her Camel Toe.
Did people hate the Jody and Jamie show?
Well, we got a couple people that hated it.
Yeah, people on the forum didn't like it, so apologize.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? You got to have the chicks on once in a while.
Send your letters to email at CoreyDoyleRadio.com.
Or call 610-552-0746.
No one has called the douchebag hotline
it's
in so long.
It's been sitting dormant.
610-552-0746.
There's cobwebs on the phone. Look at it over there. No one's even called it.
It's sad.
It's dusty and cobwebs. So call 610-552-0746 and tell us what you thought of Jody and Jamie.
I had so many dusty cobweb vagina jokes that I just let go by.
That's fine. But I don't know. I can't imagine that they're going to be back on the show, but who knows? Maybe I would bring them back in like a panel type format.
In a panel.
Like when we had 20.
They would dominate a panel, though. They would take all the.
What if I brought in them too and like Steve Brewer, and Brewer could just yell at him.
Yeah, but Steve won't yell at him.
How about here's what we do. We bring
Steve
them in.
Steve didn't yell at chicks when he was on the show last time.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
Well, exactly what Brewer did. But he might. If we egged him on, he would. What about we get Jody and Jamie?
Steve's trying to get into their pants just as much as the next guy.
You know, you know what? You are correct on that one, sir. I should know better. Yeah, that's you're right. You're right.
I mean, Steve's a married man. For
God's
sakes.
Yeah, he's.
I'm hearing a train in the distance.
There is a train.
Yeah.
That's the train that's getting run on Jamie and Jody when they come.
I believe the term is running bustos. I believe Mike Lundy taught us that.
It's called the train, though. Yeah. Legitimate name.
Come on, ride that train. And ride it. I used to have that.
Come on, ride that
train. I lost all the hip-hop songs.
And ride it.
In the reboot.
Well, sometimes the show needs to grow and... We've grown out of shitty hip hop songs.
I need some ass and titties.
Do you
I'm
really?
I'm not gonna lie to you.
Well, maybe I could get those to you here, but not, it's
come
probably...
on, baby, kick them daisy. Look at that girl, Daisy Dukes.
I'll give them to you, but it's gonna detract from the show because now I'm gonna be.
No,
tied
that's fine.
Up
we'll
this.
Get them later. We'll get them later.
All right,
but well, I'm just saying, I could have gone right to the train.
I just I don't know where. I don't know. I don't have. See, then I gotta go through all this, and I've got you know.
Yeah,
I've got every Rob intro from the cows come home, and you know. Anyway, all right, let's go. Let's move on with the show.
All right.
See, I told you it was going to kill the show.
Well, sure. But some classic 90s hip hop never heard.
You think so?
Yeah.
I have my, I have a whole string of clips from Joel's computer, so.
Oh, let's hear Joel's computer.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
See, you're going to have to hear it through the mic, but I don't know. What is this? Let's see.
Warning. There is a black man in the studio. Hide all valuables and call the police. Warning. A black man is in the studio.
See, I think I made that for when Chill came in, and then we never played it.
We never played that.
That's great, though, right?
There is a
black man in the studio.
You just blew it.
Did I ruin it? Well, I thought we'd done that.
I don't really recall ever playing that one.
Let's see what this one is.
Last week, Joel looked at 7,567 images of naked girls on the internet.
Yeah, see, there you go. That's the computer.
Well, Joel's computer
was reporting on me.
Welcome, computer.
Let's see what's... Well, see, then I have some intros from it, so I don't have a lot of stuff from you. I don't know.
All right. Well, we should do some more of those.
You think so? You enjoyed that?
I just noticed you put up your Iron Sheik photo there.
There you go. Yes, the Iron Sheik photo is up there. So.
Not an autographed Iron Sheik, even though you've met the Iron Sheik.
He personally gave me that photo. He just didn't sign it because I don't know what I was doing. The Iron Sheik was a fun guy. I liked him.
Why not get him to sign that?
Because I was busy with running around with Beetlejuice and bullshit that night, so it was hard.
He could sign Iran Bustos.
Iran
on Jody and Jamie.
Iran
Cheek.
Yeah, he was a fun guy. He was a nice guy.
Yeah,
kind of pathetic, but nice guy.
Iran number one. Russia number one.
No, now he's all about America. Now he loves
USA.
No, he loves America now. Cheek. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. He never dropped the accent around you, did he?
The what?
He never dropped the accent around you, did he?
The accent?
Yeah, he didn't.
He talks like that.
Hey, I'm Larry.
Yeah, what's going on,
I'm Larry Morgenstern. I played the Iron Sheik.
I don't know if he's from Iran.
He is from Iran because, speaking of Russ Brown,
yeah,
Russ once interviewed him.
Yeah.
For some reason, because he was writing a paper.
Yeah.
On like the he was the Shah's bodyguard.
Yes.
He was one of the Shah's bodyguards.
Yes, he Sheik travels with a giant scrapbook full of photos.
Yeah,
and he whips them out at any second. Any dull second, here, me and Muhammad Ali, take a look at Muhammad Ali. And then he always talks about his physique. He's like, look, me, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who have bigger neck? Who neck bigger? And I go, well, yours is Sheik. Of course. You see, me, Muhammad Ali.
Well,
me bigger.
If you went by neck size.
No, but he was like,
the
he
key
goes on.
Determinant
and like,
of athletic ability.
Yeah, it's like him with all these famous.
Ralphie May would be the most.
But he's like him with all these famous athletes, and he was in better shape than Muhammad Ali. He could have beat Muhammad Ali's ass. It's him and Schwarzenegger, and him and, you know, he's bigger than Schwarzenegger. And him with all these famous people that he knew from like the. Yeah. It's all from the 70s.
Now they
stuff.
Show him on TMZ riding around on the, you know, the rascal.
Yeah, he's got a
at the airport.
Well, he can't walk. He can barely walk. Like, he pulled up in a van. Yeah. I probably told the story when it happened. It was at the gathering last year when I was up Chuck the Clown. He showed up in a van and really almost never got out of the van until it was showtime. And then we had to help him up the steps. And, like, one guy had to, like, take this jacket from him so he could scream into the microphone for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, he was nutty.
It was like Roosevelt. Roosevelt was on these crutches.
Yeah.
But he'd always have his son next to him. And he could kind of walk.
Right.
He could kind of simulate walking.
Yeah.
But he had the little polio legs.
Like, she could stand.
Yeah.
But not really walk all that well. Do you know what I mean? Like, he could stand up.
Sure.
But he couldn't really walk all that well. So, because his knees are blown out. A lot of those wrestlers got problems. You read that Hulk Hogan article?
Yeah, there's a Hulk Hogan article in Rolling Stone about how.
I read about half of it.
He can't walk upstairs and stuff. His back's all jacked up.
And that's what you get, man, for doing that.
And the best story in there is he allegedly, and he's told his kids this, he claims that when he and Andre the Giant were working in Japan, Andre was too physically large to fit in the Japanese toilets. And that part I believe.
Like in the stall, basically, right?
Right.
You're saying,
right.
Yeah, okay.
So Andre went and laid out newspaper on the bed and took a giant dump.
Yeah, that's possible.
And then called Hogan in to look at it.
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
I didn't get to that part of the article. But
I would imagine that to be true. I don't know. Why would you make that up?
Big guy.
Why would you make up a story
about
it?
Big shit, you think.
Andre, they said it was a horse dump.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
No, I don't want to imagine.
Can you imagine a 500-pound
man? No one wants to imagine that. They don't want disgusting imagery in their heads. All right, that's
wait. People who listen,
so let's move along.
People who listen to this show don't want disgusting.
Let's talk about
Nader's
pussy. Oh wait a minute, we can't talk about that. Yeah, let's talk about something that's not.
Here's let's put it in perspective.
Okay,
okay, that poop that Andre the Giant took, that dump that he took, was big enough to fit in Nadia's vagina. Let's put it that way.
I'm saying she
can handle it.
I wouldn't know how big her vagina is.
It's a big vagina. If you hadn't laughed on that, it would have been a great drop. It's a big vagina.
Well, you can. We'll cut it there.
Can you imagine though? What Andre?
No, I don't
want
to imagine.
Can you imagine
it's a shit. I don't care.
Can you imagine when he ate?
I dropped a big one today. You want to talk about mine?
You know what? We did the pee, Mike.
Yeah, I've been eating Raisin Bran.
I think we do the. I think we do the deuce, Mike.
Dude, I'll tell you what. This Raisin Bran gave me such gas.
Yeah,
I had gas. I was at the gym today, and I swear to God, I couldn't stop farting.
Wow.
And when you're at the gym, that's the way it is. Because whenever you're exercising, it's like you can't contract your muscles and hold shit in. It just all comes out. Yeah. And I was on the treadmill, and I was really tooting up a storm. And you know, everyone's wearing like I'm wearing headphones, so I don't. I'm trying to make them like SBD. But you can't even because I can't
hear. What are you controlling them?
Well, you know, you don't want to let them out. You know, you can like, you can make a fart. You can muffle a fart. Right. Everyone's muffles
a
fart.
What kind of power do you have to muffle a fart?
Well, I mean, you sort of, you know, you squeeze your cheeks together and let it go so it doesn't, you don't get that, you know,
really?
Rippling sound. I mean, you can control the volume of your farts, right?
Oh, no, I'm amazing. I can do all kinds of
things. Right, but I'm saying,
but
when you're at the gym and you're like working out, you can't really do that. So I've got my headphones on, and I'm listening to music, and I don't know if my farts are making noise or not, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of, like, instruments, you know, there's, like, the sound of the machines whirring,
but see,
and they're playing music, and maybe...
Here's the problem with this.
What?
You can control the sound.
Right.
The amplitude.
Sure.
But you can't control the stink.
Exactly, that's what I mean. It must have smelled terrible. But you never know, because the gym kind of stinks anyway, because people are all farting, or all sweating. And
I'm going to tell you, a couple weeks ago, I let out just a little pop, like that.
Wow,
that was the stinkiest fart I've
ever.
Really, it was like mustard gas.
Really,
Amy like wanted to leave the apartment.
Absolutely,
it was that bad.
What was the?
And I couldn't. And I'm like,
what was the source of the gas? You think?
That's what I'm trying to put together.
Sure.
What I ate,
sure,
so that I could recreate it.
Yeah,
I would love to recreate.
You would love to have that power.
I would like to recreate. Well, that's a power. It was potent. I mean,
was it
like I felt like a superhero.
Yeah.
I felt that I was farting out a gas cloud.
No,
because
for me, I just felt like it's this Raisin Bran, and I can still almost feel it right now, like churning in my, like it's the raisins. It's like, and honestly, I know.
Did you swallow the California raisins?
No, the bran. Okay, the bran is supposedly like the fiber that makes you shit, but I think the raisins are like fermenting in there.
You got some
and
weird
like giving off gas.
You got some weird ideas.
Because I think they've put more raisins in the Raisin Bran, and I think that's almost a bad thing. Because I know there's always like Raisin Bran wars between Post and Kellogg's about like who's got more raisins.
Yeah.
But I think the more raisins is actually bad for
you. I could eat 10 fistfuls of raisins and not fart.
No, but it's because they say it's the fiber. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's the fiber of it that makes it, you know, moves through your bowels.
Yeah, I don't
quickly.
Think the raisins are doing anything.
No, but the raisins are making my stomach acidic or something. There's something going on there. I'm just telling
you've
you what it is. I'm
delicate,
feeling things.
The most delicate stomach.
It's good. No, I mean, Raisin Bran is good for you because it does actually make you regular. It cleans you out.
Yeah.
But something going on with it the last couple times I've had it has really made me gassy.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's up.
I like a nice bit of oatmeal. I start the day with some oatmeal.
Do you really?
That'll really.
Oatmeal.
You think Raisin Bran does it for you?
Well, bran is
oatmeal will straight up. That'll clean you right
up.
No,
I would think bran is more than oats as far as fiber.
Oatmeal's pretty
okay,
hardcore.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Well, I eat cereal with oats sometimes, but not oatmeal.
What if you fed Andre the Giant oatmeal?
I hope that didn't
just
never
just a trough full of oats. What is the... I'm sorry, folks. This is a poop crazy show.
Speaking of weird food, what is cooking out in the fucking other room?
I don't know.
Holy shit, people. What is that?
Smell. It's not
she
that
must
bad.
Have got Thai food or
it's
something,
not that
my
bad,
roommate.
But...
No, I think it's pretty strong. Unless it's coming from outside. We have
no, nothing
open.
Will beat the broccoli that your old roommate used
oh,
to
cook. Oh, Julia used to cook broccoli? Was
oh,
that Julia
no,
that did
no,
that?
No, it was the French girl.
Oh, the French girl, yeah.
She would,
nice.
She would sometimes be making stuff.
Aye, aye, aye.
And one time I remember her just boiling broccoli.
Open
and
see what that is. See if it's coming from outside.
For God's sake. All right, let me do a little.
I'll yell at her.
Let me do a little investigation.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. We've talked about nothing so far today either. Is it coming? Is it from the house? Come here, not be Corey. Don't leave the show, Corey. Now Corey just left the show. All right, good night, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week, Corey. Dude, you have to come back on the show. You can't just walk out.
I'm just investigating.
Okay, but you could just open the door and talk, and we could hear you. I got it. Well, what's going on?
She's making like chicken with like it's like soy sauce or something.
Oh, okay. Stinky.
She's making like rice and chicken and
I want to run
Yeah, you know, she was making broccoli. I'll tell you that much.
The broccoli smelled like sewage. I mean, it smelled like hot.
She just had some broccoli now.
No, but she didn't boil it like that other chick did.
She didn't have no. She was boiling like heads of broccoli.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was powerful.
But I mean, it smelled like a sewer, right? I mean, it was like a gassy like.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. You would not think broccoli, which like raw broccoli is the most innocuous thing.
It is.
But you cook that broccoli and
yeah,
it turns
so
into.
It gives
it,
off.
You
scent.
Get some Andre the Giant mud butt smell off that. It really.
We've done the most 35 minutes of the worst worthless radio in the history.
Who do you think took a bigger dump, Andre the Giant or Big John Stone?
All right, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. People can ponder that. We're going to have some content when we come back.
No, I'm going to talk about wrestler poops.
No, we're going to talk about we'll talk about Parks and Recreation, the new television show. Is it any good or not?
Oh,
we'll talk about that.
And now that I've done,
I want to know about Rob's wedding. You have to get into that.
Yeah, now that we've done 40 minutes on Andre the Giant.
But you started it, you asshole. And then I talked about my own shit today, but, you know, that has nothing to do with it.
Hogan.
All right, listen.
I'm on the toilet.
Sorry, Corey is a 12-year-old boy. He's on our...
We've been doing 200 shows. I've never done a shit episode.
All right, well,
so there you go.
This will be the last one. All right. Play some more 1990s. We'll come back right after this with more show, and hopefully no more poop jokes. But
no guarantee.
It's gonna snow tonight. I know I will be liking it. So let's go, let's go. Step out of the house, step into the wild. Put on that dress tonight, the one your mom don't like. I'll see you at the lights.
Oh, there you go. 1990s. That was good.
There you have it.
Nice song there.
Yeah.
I like that.
Woo, doggies.
All right. Let's talk about it. We mentioned a couple things. You want to get into Rob's wedding? You went. I could not, although I wasn't invited either. But I was, yeah.
Yeah, you were on.
So what happened? Rob,
no, it was
wedding?
Nice. It was a nice wedding.
Was it really?
It was nice that day.
Yeah, it was. It was a beautiful day.
It was a gorgeous day, and I didn't really want to go inside for the wedding.
Yeah.
A lot of people
where was it? Where did it take place?
It was at a place called the Players Club, which is an old gentleman's club, not a strip club, but a...
Oh, okay.
You know, like an Elks Club or like
right.
You know what I mean? Like a fraternal
sure.
order of what the Water Buffaloes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Players Club. It's a men's club, and they have a theater.
Yeah.
They put on plays. It's this really cool building. It looked like I kept making jokes about the Stonecutters from The Simpsons.
So it was like out of the 20s or something.
Yeah, it's like 100 years old. Yeah. It's turn of the century.
All right.
And not quite Art Deco, but like vaulted ceilings and
sure, yeah.
pillars and columns
yeah, okay.
and murals. And like I said, I think they were sacrificing goats when we weren't there.
Okay.
But it was nice. It was a little tiered seating. And
yeah.
And, you know, all my friends were groomsmen, you know, guys I went to high school with who were at the bachelor party and stuff.
Yeah.
So. That was fun, and Rob choked up a little bit.
Really?
I'm not going to bust his balls on the show, but it was touching.
Wait till he's here.
I will. No, I said that was, I told everybody afterwards, I said that was really, truly beautiful.
Oh, look at that.
Rob gave me a gift that will last forever by crying at his wedding. So, it was great. They both got choked up. And,
oh, okay. Well, that's
they're
good.
Really a great couple. They're all really right. good for each other, and... I know it doesn't fit in with the caliber of this show, but they're decent quality people. So whoa. Congratulations, Rob.
Listen,
and
Mr. Sunshine over here.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe it's the same guy that was joking about Andre the Giant shit just 3 minutes ago. It's really amazing.
Well, I could continue that thread,
no,
but
no.
I got hours.
No, stop. Please.
I'm telling you, so big hamsters could ski down it.
So did he have a band? Did he have a DJ?
He had DJ and before dinner.
Yeah.
They had the reception and the wedding in the same place.
Okay.
Like this place, it has a stage. It's like a theater.
Okay.
Basically. And so they went, you know, they had the wedding on the stage and then they just brought the food, you know, they started the food, which was great. I like
that. So you
that.
Got to just sit in your regular chair.
Yeah.
And watch the thing
absolutely.
And then they brought food to you. So
yeah.
no physical movement was
that's
necessary.
The way to go.
Just sit in one chair and they just, yeah.
Well, like Katie's wedding was outside of the, and then you just went inside the
went
place.
Went inside. I've been to those.
That sure. was good, but this was yeah. even better, where you didn't even have to move.
Now, did they bring the food
although
to
the seating was a little awkward.
Did you have to get up and get the food, or they served it to you?
You had to go up and get the food.
Oh, so it was a buffet style.
Yeah, it was
food.
Kind of
it
buffet
wasn't,
style.
They didn't seat,
right.
they didn't serve it to you. Okay.
No.
All right. So you had to get up for that, but it was still okay.
They had waiters, though, taking drink orders.
Oh, okay.
So that was good.
So what did you say before the before
oh,
dinner?
Before dinner, they had like the playlist that Rob had built.
Okay.
And you could tell because it was like Bowie and
yeah.
Pixies and stuff were in
sure.
there. And you could tell Rob had like built this playlist.
yeah.
Rob and Jason, one of the groomsmen, had like made the playlist.
Okay.
And then like after dinner, the DJ took over.
Sure.
And that's when like you started hearing Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you started hearing...
Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
Seriously,
yeah.
literally, Amy and I were up there dancing and he put on Lady... by
Kenny Rogers
and Amy yeah. lost it and just couldn't like dance. She was just laughing too hard about how shitty that song was, and I think Rob was a little disappointed.
So
by that.
That guy had like a traditional wedding.
Well, he took requests. He took
yeah.
requests,
but it had to be something he had.
Yeah, and I think right. if Rob had had his druthers, he would have had somebody more in line with his own taste,
with his own thing. He didn't pick the guy,
right?
The, yeah, sure.
No, Rob's a pretty hip guy on yeah. music too. So it's like you know, I know how I would be.
Yeah.
I know how I would be with a wedding and how
right.
obsessive I'd be about the playlist.
Sure.
So,
yeah. My brother's wedding in Atlanta, my uncle got pissed off, Michael Albert, because he had no Italian music. Now, granted, we're in Atlanta, Georgia for this thing.
Oy.
And there's no Dagos down there, really, but he was all mad about how no...
I don't have the Italian music
you don't have
anymore.
Any Dago music? God damn it. Well, it was... yeah, we didn't have any Dago music, and he was all mad. And I go, look... If you're coming to a wedding and you want Dago music, bring your own CD and give it to the guy and say, play this.
Sure.
Or play that, you know, and they'll do it.
But that's the thing. If you're like a professional wedding DJ.
Yeah.
Which Wolfman Mac is.
Sure.
They have, you know, they have a set list of stuff that's going to work for a multiple.
Right.
The stupid Hokey Pokey and the goddamn, you know, chicken
dance. The chicken
dance
and all that stuff, yeah.
Right. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Well, now that's stupid. Clap one time. Step to the left.
What is that song called?
Slide. I don't know. It's so annoying. And it's like,
right.
It's, you know, they do the freaking hustle.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? And I could.
Electric slide.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But then there was some like De La Soul.
The Locomotion.
Then we started putting requests in and they played like really? Some De La Soul and stuff. And okay. I don't, you know, it got a little better. But,
sure.
But, well, one, first of all, the music that Rob would probably want to listen to. Like, how are you going to play some Pavement songs?
No, you're not, but there's stuff you could do to get people in right. You know.
You got to keep the old people happy.
Sure.
Right. But I feel like Rob was kind of, at one point, was like, you know, he saw our, like, playlist, our, like, must playlist. He's like, he didn't
sure.
follow that and understand.
What was the demographic of the people attending? Was it mostly family? There was a good chunk of family.
I mean, it was a lot of people, you know,
some people just don't have big families. That's why, you know.
Right. Right. First of all, there was, like, 6 groomsmen and 5 bridesmaids.
Okay, yeah. That's all the big group.
Yeah, it was a big crowd. And so it was probably 60-40 younger people.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's a good wedding.
But, you know, there's a certain amount of grandma and grandpas.
Yeah. Because sometimes if there's not enough young people, it's just, you know, it's over. You know, you're leaving right after dinner because you're just
Yeah. And it was a fairly young wedding, but it was just, you know, that DJ, you know, a lot of, when he played the Kenny Rogers, it was, I think, and then he played like, you know, it was like, they played Copacabana and crap like
sure,
that.
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
just
yeah.
like,
yeah. Who wants
and
that?
then in a touching tribute, my friend Tony, who I don't think you've met, sang Baby Got Back.
Oh, he sang it.
He
sang Baby Got
Back.
Yeah,
he sang along too.
Oh,
he took
okay,
the mic
yeah,
and sang
yeah,
along
sure,
to Baby
yeah.
Got Back. In a touching tribute, which I'm sure Rob and Tim will remember forever.
I'm sure that was the
I think they requested that. I think
did they that the guy do it?
Yeah. That was great. They had a regular cake and then they had like a SpongeBob cake.
Yeah.
They had a cake that was
really
that looked like SpongeBob.
Ah.
It was pretty cool.
All right.
So it was a fun wedding.
Because I'll tell you, the Dagos know how to throw a wedding.
Do they? Yeah.
I got a guy who's like a distant relative named Sandro. And this guy's a singer.
Sandro.
He's a singer in Rome.
And Sandro Fragamenti.
I don't know what he's now. I don't think he's a Fragamenti, but he's got a bunch of CDs and everything. And this guy got up, and they just had some wedding band. And like at this one wedding, my cousin's wedding. And he flew in for a guy who speaks no English.
Yeah.
And I don't know, they started playing some Italian song they knew. And Sandro started singing along. You never saw a guy sing like this. Unbelievable. Unbelievable singer. All in Italian. It was great. Sandro.
If only I had some
you want, hold on a second.
If only I had it.
Oh, you
I should have
hit Sandro.
Right now.
Oh, this guy. Oh, hold on a second. Let me see if I can. Because I think we have a folder for Sal's music, right? Don't we have?
Yes.
Like Sal Dago music? Is that how we described it?
Yes.
Sal's, let me see here.
I think it was Guinea Boombots Volume 2.
Is that what you think it was?
Sal's music.
Sal's music. Hold on a second. I'm going to copy this whole folder. I'll send it over to you,
right.
And we can pretend like this never happened.
That's right. We can rewind. Now, do they have like 7 fishes at the wedding, or what are they
Not
doing?
At the wedding, but
what
it
are
was
some Italian wedding rituals? Do they
Italian wedding rituals?
Did they spit on a Spaniard?
Sometimes you'll do a thing where like you'll all do a big circle where you're like everyone will join hands and dance around the groom and the bride. You know what I'm talking about? You got it by now, by the way.
All right, do I?
You know what I'm saying? Like, you would all grab your hands and go kind of ring around the rosy, and then you'd all kind of walk in and one, and you'd
and
walk
then
in.
You stab them. Everybody gives them one nice stab.
No, you would do that, and then you'd do, I don't know, just whatever. I don't know. It's not a whole lot different from other people's weddings, I don't think. This one's not quite wedding music. I don't know if we have, like, wedding music. I don't know which one this is.
Yeah. You play the tarantella.
Yeah. Is this the tarantella? Yeah. Yeah, tarantella is pretty festive. You don't have funiculi funiculana?
I don't.
No. My cousin Sandro, he sings ballads. He doesn't sing stuff like this.
How about this?
Oh, this is Egg and Pare, yeah. Nah, see, this is too much like. This is sort of like carnival music or something. This isn't like, I mean, you could play this in a wedding, but it's not like what, you know,
sure.
Like Sandro didn't sing this. He's not like this. He's like a slick, you know, imagine like long black kind of greasy hair.
I just want to hear this song.
Yeah. You know, that's what Sandro, he sings like ballads. He's like, yeah. Here, pause this for a second. I'll do a little Sandro. He goes like, he comes up like this. Like the band will be playing like do 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 do, and he goes, you know, just by himself. You know, the band will stop and he'll go, "Hey, Mister Band, my master bella." You know, line. He holds the this guy's great, Sandro. You got to hear this guy. I'll try to. You
so
know
what you're telling me is that's different from the music I just played.
Well, no, your stuff is more upbeat.
I love when you go to a Middle Eastern restaurant,
yeah,
and the music they're playing there, and then the guys be like, I don't listen. It's different from what I listen to. And then it's like,
I'll try to get a Sandro CD for you.
No.
I think my uncle's got him. So we can have his CD. Yes.
He's got an album?
He's famous. He's not, I guess he's not like famous, but he's like a working.
He's infamous.
He's a working singer. He's like, he's the Bill Hildebrand of Italian singers. He's a working singer. You know what I'm saying? Like he's not on TV famous or on the radio.
No.
But he's a singer. He works. You know, he gets paid.
Yeah.
I don't know which
one
this is.
I just like to hear the Tarantella.
What about play Cotterie? Because my uncle actually plays Cotterie at Thanksgiving and stuff.
Does he?
Christmas, yeah. Yeah, see, this one I've actually heard at the family gathering.
Really? They jam this one?
Yeah, I'm not even making it up. Like, I was, like, he has the same CD, and I just downloaded this randomly. Yeah, this is fun, though, right?
Woo! Yeah.
So none of this at Rob's wedding. It was all white people, right? There was no ethnicity whatsoever, right?
There was a smattering of representation.
Some Polacks there or something? Who was there?
There was a couple brothers, but...
oh, no, really?
Well, you know, friends.
But, I mean, like, who's... What... Do they have any ethnic or religious persuasion that was...
No, I mean, just black guys.
No, I'm talking about the families, the wedding.
You know, the wedding? No, it was kind of a non-denominational
okay,
wedding.
Okay. Yeah. You know, it wasn't Catholic, it wasn't Jewish, it wasn't...
No, it wasn't that like
stuff.
That kind of deal.
And they're not like Polacks or anything, or they weren't playing polka music or anything like that?
No.
Like, I get that too, sometimes, my mom's side.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a couple of Polacks over there, and they gotta do the whole polka.
Kim's
stuff.
Side of the family might... I'm not sure what they are, Polish or something, but they didn't... It wasn't real... Heavily tinged.
But we'll do, you know.
Most of the weddings you go to now, like most people our age are not like into the whole heavily traditional thing.
Right. But sometimes those are funny though, like when you go to them.
No, they're great. And the wedding I was in last fall, I, you know, was a Jewish wedding, or at least Josh is Jewish, and I was hoping
for... a guy in L.A., yeah.
Yeah, and I was hoping for a Jewish wedding.
Nothing though, right?
With the break in the glass. And I've been to Jewish weddings.
Sure.
Where they did the hoopah.
Yeah, I've been to that too.
They did the hoopah and they broke the glass. And
they put the guy in the chair
put the
guy and
carried
him around.
And then they, you know, they traded savings bonds. And
I went to a Jewish wedding. The guy, the groom was Jewish anyway.
Yeah.
And I was hoping they were going to do the thing in a chair, but the guy was like three bills. Like there was no carrying this guy around in a chair.
Yeah,
he was a big fat guy, you know, and you know, so.
I was more for it than he was.
Oh, putting him around.
I was more for doing the whole.
And he didn't want to do all that.
He's like, yeah, we're not doing all that.
Sure. Like, it was a great. If you ever see, not that it's a great movie, but Neil Diamond's The Jazz Singer. There's a whole Jewish wedding in there. That's great.
There's also a scene where he puts shoe polish on his face to sing with a black guy with a black group, and that's another great scene in that film. But my God, that movie's awful.
It's an awful movie. But if you want to see a Jewish wedding, isn't Olivier in that?
Yes, Olivier plays his dad.
See, there you go.
Olivier's trying to like put on a like Yiddish accent. And, oh yeah, my boy chick guy, and it's like it's so bad.
I see. I'm amazed there wasn't further Neil Diamond movies after that one. But that was the only one.
No, apparently
that was the one.
That was it.
That was the one.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know, actually, there was another Neil Diamond. Wasn't You Don't Bring Me Flowers? He wasn't in it, but I think he was hot from that song and stuff.
Right.
Maybe that's how he got the jazz singer. Based on that.
Neil Diamond was big in like 1980.
He's still big now.
Yeah.
It's huge. My mom loved Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
Went all the every time he came to Detroit, she went.
You know what? I like the real early Neil Diamond stuff, like, you know, Cracklin' Rosie.
The stuff from the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, the early, like when he was writing for the Monkees.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff's not bad.
Right.
But after that, it's shoot me in the face.
Sure. Well, didn't he sing on the...
Forever in Blue Jeans, babe!
I don't think he has contemporary stuff. I think if you go see him, he still sings all that stuff. Still sings all that
old
shit.
Well, I'm sure he does, but I mean, I'm talking about the stuff into the 80s.
Right, right, right.
Had a dream they'd come to share.
That was from the jazz.
They're coming to America.
Well, but he doesn't he swing Sweet Caroline is like a big hit amongst like college kids or something.
Really?
Yeah. Like everyone sings along to it and stuff. Didn't he do like he's done like indie rock shows and stuff, Neil?
Well, there was when they put it in Pulp Fiction, Girl You'll Be a Woman.
Yeah,
soon.
See, there you go.
Was popular
because that was, but that
Urge
was,
Overkill
oh, that was an Urge Overkill
cover,
of
right?
It, but,
right, but the original got some play too,
right? But yeah, but he's got like you know how they always bring didn't like Rick Rubin produce an album for him and stuff? I think that's all. Yeah,
yeah. You never know. I mean, yeah. There's always a resurgence for those guys,
right? Well, I saw Glenn Campbell on Craig Ferguson,
right?
I think it might have been Kimmel, but I think it was Ferguson. And he had like a young band of indie rockers backing him up.
Yeah, I would bet Ferguson would put that on.
And he sang like around Rhinestone Cowboy
right.
with all these young guys. And people were going apeshit like it was the greatest thing ever. And it's like, you know, it's just like kind of everyone's taking the piss. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Nobody really likes that, but they're just kind of goofing.
Yeah.
Everyone's goofing, like pretending that's good,
You're
but
telling
it's not
me,
really.
Glenn Campbell's a little hard to.
Neil Diamond has a little more to it, you know? But no, Tom Jones had that same thing.
Okay, don't I love Tom Jones.
Do you?
Don't okay. talk about Tom Jones.
I've seen Tom Jones in concert twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
In indie rock formats. He showed up at the 1992 sure. Glastonbury Festival as like an unannounced guest spot.
Right.
And at the time he was doing a cover of he had Kiss that had been out for a while.
Yeah.
With Art of Noise. So he does that.
Sure.
And he did Hard to Handle. He did a version of that. And he did his current contemporary hit at the time was he did a cover of the EMF song Unbelievable.
Right.
The Things You Say.
He did that one album where he did a Rise Robots Rise cover.
Did he? Yeah.
He did like weird
and
stuff.
He was good. Now Tom Jones was good, but people were kind of into it cuz it was kind of kitschy.
Right.
And then he did a cover. He did an album where he duetted with like indie rock stars in I think 99 or 2000.
Yeah.
And when the Stereophonics played at the Reading Festival in 2000, he came out and did Mama Told Me Not to Come. It was like his biggest hit with Kelly Jones from Stereophonics. Yeah. So he played that. Which and everyone went crazy again. It was like, Tom Jones,
which is, which is a Randy Newman tune.
Right, 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 right. But, you know, well, it's Three Dog Night did the famous version
right,
of it.
But it's written by Randy
but, Newman. So
and
that, but that,
and on his first album, 12 songs.
Okay, there you go. But Tommy, but that's how Tom Jones is famous. He covers all these... You know, songs,
yeah,
you know,
well,
and he
Tom,
does
Tom Jones
he does it Tom
a,
Jones style.
Tom Jones is not a songwriter.
Exactly.
He's
yeah.
a performer, but right. he's a hell of a performer.
But I think he's in that same mode of Neil Diamond, and Glenn Campbell's a little different.
But I unapologetically like Tom Jones. I'll listen to Tom Jones.
Do you?
I mean, you know, not every day of my life, but I've got a Greatest Hits album.
Do you really?
That's,
okay.
That's a pretty solid
right.
collection, and
fair
it's
enough.
Good stuff.
That's honest.
Yeah. Neil Diamond, though, it's a little tougher.
Neil Diamond's somewhere there. I mean, like, Neil Diamond's above, like, Manilow, even though I do kind of like Barry Manilow a little bit, but...
really?
I went... Can I tell you? It had to be...
You like Barry Manilow?
I like Barry...
That's faggot
I know. I went...
You want to call it by its name? That's strictly for fans.
I went 1980 to Joe Louis Arena and saw Barry Manilow
wow.
with my parents. And I think
that's faggot stuff.
I'm sorry. I'm
you want to call it by its name? That's strictly.
Well, you know
fans.
What really sucked about it, and I still hate my mom to this day for. I don't hate my mom for it, but it's like I was really mad because he did an intermission.
Screw you, motherfucker!
And my mom was like, "We got to leave at the intermission to beat the traffic."
Really?
So we saw half of Barry Manilow. Like he did, you know, he was probably doing a 2-hour show, and he did an hour, and then it was like we had to come back and see. Yeah. And we were like the last seat, like against the wall. You know how the Joe Louis is, like the nosebleed, the top of the upper bowl, where you got like the wall behind you? That's where we were sitting for, you know, Barry Manilow. And this was before TV screens or anything, so we were a mile away from Barry Manilow.
I believe I've seen roughly 3,000 to 4,000 concerts in my life.
That's probably a complete exaggeration. But go
no, ahead. I don't know. Whatever. Several hundred.
Okay, yeah.
Would you buy 1,000?
I don't know. I mean, if you go to a bar and a band's playing, it's not really a concert. So I
no,
mean,
but you know what I mean. I've seen a lot
seen
of
several.
You
I'm
and
sure.
I have both seen
absolutely
hundreds and
I know.
Well, 500 is plausible.
Okay, go
completely.
Ahead.
Anyway, you know what my first concert I ever
what
saw
was that
John Denver.
Really,
1982 or three.
And where'd you see him at?
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Like, was it a big thing? Was it?
Yeah, it was
big...
like a theater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And who wanted to go to that?
My mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a kid. You know what I mean. I trying to remember what the first concert I actually.
Oh,
like,
I know. I can.
I like went by myself.
I can do worse than Barry Manilow.
Because I also saw Michael Jackson.
Oh, okay.
In 88 on the Victory Tour.
See, that's something cool. At least you can say you saw it. Like, yeah. I'm sure that show was stupid, and if you saw it now, you'd hate it. But
well, I would hate a show with 14 costume changes.
Yeah, exactly. 22
dancers and, like, pyrotechnics.
Yeah, you would hate that now. I went to... I sat on the lawn of Pine Knob, which is now the DT Energy Music Theater, to watch Rick Springfield.
Wow.
With my mom.
Yeah.
And then my brother went with some chick he was dating. But my brother had to be like 16 or something.
Sure.
But my brother was like making out with some chick.
Well.
Yeah, he was like 16. And I was like, you know, 13.
Sure.
My brother might have been younger than that. So I'm thinking I was pretty young. But and the opening act was Corey Hart.
Wow, that asshole.
Sunglasses at night. Yeah, that guy.
I get
guy.
A particular hate for that guy.
Do you?
Well, because.
Never cause Surrender.
Because of my name.
Oh, Corey Hart. Yeah. There was a lot of Corey's in the 80s.
Yeah, there were.
They ruined it for you.
Chock-a-block with Corey's.
But yeah, so I saw Rick Springfield, which was terrible. And so that would be the ultimate low.
I don't have words that rhyme with Corey.
Well,
anymore,
you know what? You have nothing because you don't know how to run a computer. So there you go.
I'm just saying.
You're paying for the sins. I gave you seven.
Touchdown! Corey Hall!
There you go. Touchdown, Corey Hall.
I've got
that's
that.
That's perfect. It's a great drop.
It is a good drop.
But yeah, so that would be the shame of concerts that I've seen. Would be those two. But I was too old to really, you know, know better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, I've seen stuff that was, like, hip for the times or something. Do you know what I mean? I've seen stuff like, you know.
Things you're not happy about now?
Rock shows that you're just like, I don't know why I liked that at the time. But, right. You know. But you know, those would be the only, like, embarrassing, like, sort of.
I've seen Pearl Jam 3 times ever really.
Yeah, yeah. Because you see them at Lollapalooza.
Ever really
or something,
being into. Well, I went to one time I saw them at St. Andrews in 93. Right,
okay.
Right when they were. Well, I saw them open for the Chili Peppers.
Okay. Yeah, I was at that show.
It was the Chili Peppers, Smashing Pumpkins, and
I was at that show.
Yeah,
at the State
Pearl
Theater.
Yeah. That's a pretty good show.
It was
and
a good
Pearl
show.
Jam was brand
new. Nobody knew
new.
Who they were at the time.
I think they just changed their name from Mookie Blaylock.
Yeah.
And they were,
no one knew who they were at the time. And then I saw them at Lollapalooza, and I saw them. But I don't, Pearl Jam's okay.
I saw
them
at St. Andrews one time, and Eddie Vedder fell on my head. But, I mean, And now it's not a band I would ever listen to.
Sure, yeah.
But I guess for the 5 minutes at the time, it
absolutely
like a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've seen stuff like, I don't know. You get to my 90s record collection, I probably saw all kinds of shit that I don't know.
There's all kinds
of
crap
shit that
in your 90s where, you know, you're like...
Well, there's stuff that's like they had one good album or something, or they broke up.
Yeah, I was really into Buffalo Tom for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
well,
it's like,
yeah, but that's not embarrassing. I don't know. You know.
But you know what I mean? There's stuff that just didn't...
Yeah,
last.
They just, you know, band
didn't
comes
endure.
Out and they didn't make it. Well, I played that band Scarce. Remember them?
No.
Yeah, we played them on the show.
Therefore their name.
People got into them, Scarce, and
Scarce.
They never went anywhere.
Really?
But I saw them like multiple times.
Do you have any Carter the Unstoppable?
Oh,
Sex Machine
I saw
albums?
Carter the Unstoppable Sex Machine about a dozen times.
Did you?
I love those guys.
Did you? Okay, so speaking of this,
the
Lollapalooza lineup.
I saw what I don't even.
Depeche Mode is headlining.
Yeah, I saw them.
Who cares?
I did see Depeche Mode. That might be a concert that I kind of go. Why was I into it at the time? But I went into
The Cure closed Coachella, and I would almost even see The Cure.
See, I don't know if I would watch The Cure.
Yeah.
Apparently that set was like 32 songs.
Yeah,
I'm like,
they played.
There's about 5 good Cure songs, and 32 means they played 27 songs.
Right.
I don't give a fuck.
They
about
played,
it.
Like, they didn't play Boys Don't Cry till the encore.
Right.
The third. Okay. That was the last song
let's
they played.
Let's name good Cure songs right now. I bet you we can't get to 5. I'll give you Boys Don't Cry, I'll give you that one. Close to Me is a good song. Go ahead. Your turn.
Friday, I'm in Love.
Oh, Friday, I'm in Love's okay. Because I'll give you. I don't even know if I'd want to hear him play Friday, I'm in Love. I don't really like that all that much.
I can't even think of him off.
See, you can't even. Isn't there the song with the cats or something? The cats. You're gonna go Google The Cure now.
I'm gonna look up the Cure.
They got.
Songs.
But we've named 3, Corey.
Yeah, I know.
They got nothing.
Well, let's see. Let's Go to Bed. Just Like Heaven.
Just Like Heaven's good. Okay, so that's 4.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's Go to Bed's okay. I mean, it's not great.
Love Song.
Love Song. Okay, we're at 5.
Yeah, I know.
But you're Googling it. You don't even know I'm off the top of your head.
I was blanking on it.
See? Oh, I'd like to see The Cure, and then I tell you what good Cure songs are. You don't even know.
Wow.
See?
Yeah. No, I mean, look, it's like...
Sure, no,
like,
I know what you're saying.
I'm like, I never was a big... Cure fan.
Right.
But if they came on the radio.
But if they played 32 songs, it's sure. no good.
Well, I certainly knew chicks that were into fucking
I understand.
Cure,
I know my friends went to The Cure and stuff yeah. back in the day, but I was always not into them. I wasn't ever into Cure. I was never into REM. I was never into U2. I was never into like a lot of those real big 80s alternative bands.
I was.
I liked the Replacements and the Pixies in the 80s and stuff. So I was. I was a little more.
I was definitely into REM
out there. REM, I didn't like.
I liked the Pixies.
I. You know what? I'd see REM now maybe, but you know REM doesn't even do those like classic songs anymore. They dropped them all. Like if you see REM now, they do all.
They
new
don't
stuff.
Do. You know.
They do all. They'll do one of those. They'll do It's the End of the World as We Know It or something. Yeah. But they don't do a lot of it. They'll do one or two. They keep putting out albums that no one buys.
Well, they're cranking out dozens of. I mean,
yeah, they keep cranking out an album, and it's like no one.
They're not going to do Radio Free Europe.
Heard any of those? But that's what people want to see, though. Right.
I was a big Elvis. Still, am a big Elvis Costello fan, although not that big.
Did you go to an Elvis Costello show?
I've seen him once. Yeah.
Okay.
But that was not that long ago.
I hear he's good. I don't know. Again, if Elvis Costello's
Nigel,
2 hours of songs I want to see.
Nigel Rosenbloom is a mega.
You told
Elvis
me he's
Costello
got a cover. He's got a cover band.
The preeminent Washington D.C. cover band.
What's the name of it again?
Party Girl. Is the name of the band. Which is an obscure.
They're
reference.
Not watching the detectives or anything like that.
They should have been.
They're not Pump It Up.
They should have. They could have picked anyone.
I think we did this.
Well,
Oliver's Army.
Oliver's Army.
There's got to be. There's already got to be an Oliver's Army.
I would have called my band Oliver's
Army.
Sure,
sure, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But
right.
But really, even I only like four albums of his that are really like the ones I really want to hear.
Right. And Alvin, doesn't he go out and he's got a jazz album he's promoting?
Oh yeah, he does.
And he's
like
doing this
string
and he's
quartets.
Doing that.
And his show is actually not bad. If you've ever seen that,
he's got an interview show.
He's
or
got
something?
An interview show called Spectacle.
Oh okay,
which is on like Sundance.
Yeah, I never seen.
And
that.
He did one with Zooey Deschanel and Jenny Lewis.
Oh okay, well that's there you go.
Well, it was the
two tissue show for you.
It was totally. it was the ShamWow.
The ShamWow.
That's what
go.
It was. Joel.
Is it dry now? Is the water dry?
No, not really.
It's still there.
This is an off market.
It's not the official Vince ShamWow. No, that's some sort of off brand.
But that was definitely a ShamWow job for me. But he also had, it was like children of the show business.
Oh okay, yeah.
So and it was like and Jacob Dylan.
Okay. Yeah.
But he did like a couple songs with Jenny
Lewis.
He's on Jenny Lewis's new album.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is so funny because like you're listening to her album and then Elvis Costello comes in.
No, I saw her play on Letterman and he was in the band. Like they didn't even announce that Costello was going to be there. It was like, tonight, Jenny Lewis. And then Elvis Costello's out there and it's like, what's he doing?
And they
there?
Did like the song that he's in.
And you're like, hey, that guy. People are probably watching that going, hey, that guy looks like Elvis Costello. Who's that douchebag that looks like Elvis Costello? But it was really him.
I just want to wear my red shoes.
Well, he did an album with McCartney.
Right.
I think the late 80s or early 90s called Spike.
Right.
That was kind of good. They co-wrote all the songs and McCartney played on it.
Yep.
That was
a big hit.
Yeah.
But anyway.
All right. But who are we talking about? Is there anybody you'd want to see that, like.
I don't know.
You said The Cure, but again, if they're doing 32 songs, you'd get bored with that real quick.
That was, I mean, you
I,
really.
I saw back in 1990, I saw Midnight Oil.
Wow.
And again, two songs, you know, it was like, I don't even know what the name, How Can We Sleep While the Beds Are Burning? I have to sing this song to remember
there's
the title.
There's like two songs?
Beds Are Burning. Yeah, there's another.
The Cure's got more
Midnight
than that.
Midnight Oil song.
The Cure's got a bigger
catalog. No, but at the song, at the time, they had two songs and they've had nothing since.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know, who else, was there anybody else you'd want to see like that? Who you?
After the top guys, it's actually a pretty good list.
Oh, who could you tell us who's at?
Well, okay, here's the problem. The headliners suck a dick.
I wouldn't go anyway.
The headliners
probably,
are Depeche Mode and Tool.
Yeah, Tool's
and
terrible.
Jane's Addiction, and then the Killers.
Jane's Addiction, I've seen. I saw them back when they were good, and I don't really want to see that again. I mean, it's nostalgia or whatever.
And then the Beastie Boys.
Who cares?
Which
Killers, I guess I'd watch if I was there, but I'm not going to spend $200 to
I
see
saw
the
them at Lollapalooza 2 years ago.
Okay, so, all right.
Kings of Leon.
Kings of Leon are great. I saw them on their last tour when they stopped through Detroit. I've seen them about 13, 14 times, too, so in total. But
Lou Reed, that would be cool.
Eh. Again, Lou Reed, what do you want to hear from Lou Reed?
All of Transformers.
You love all of Lou Reed.
No, I don't love it all, but...
What would he be doing in concert that you would want to see?
I'd want to see stuff off Transformer.
Okay, but what's the likelihood? Because again, he's another guy that's putting
Satellite
out
of Love.
But he's another guy that's putting out
all that stuff.
He'll put out
5,000 albums. He's not going to really do Velvet
Underground. But some
songs.
Some guys are like artists and they can't do the songs people know.
Sure,
you know.
I don't feel that Lou Reed. I think Lou Reed, is he going to do Walk on the Wild Side? I don't fucking know. But
yeah. He might do a crowd pleasing set at like
he'll
Lollapalooza.
He'll do Satellite Alone.
He might do that, sure.
Well, I saw Iggy at Lollapalooza.
Yeah, but Iggy, I think has always done all that.
Yeah,
all the all the stuff from the
Iggy,
you know, the Stooges.
Always does the Stooges stuff.
Yeah, he's always done.
And that's what he did. He did No Fun and all that shit. Ben Harper, here's what kills me: the Killers and Ben Harper were at the Lollapalooza I went to 2 years ago. I didn't go last year, but the year before.
Right.
Snoop Dogg.
Who cares?
Thievery Corporation? Who the fuck is Andrew Bird?
He's some indie fag.
TV on the Radio, who I've seen. They're all right.
Yeah, again.
Vampire Weekend. I'd
see Vampire. I'd see them. I like that album.
They got one album.
Yeah, I know.
Right. The Decemberists.
Who cares?
They got one album and like five good songs. So,
Decemberists, I don't even know.
No, the Decemberists, I like okay, but...
Yeah.
Nico Case.
It's $200. It's just you got to keep that
Well, what's nice is that, look, you're getting a little more value, though, because I go... Well, I'd see the Vampire Weekend in the Decemberists and Kings Leon, and you're getting a bulk package.
The problem is, though,
you probably can't see all the shit
right,
at one time.
Right, because they're at the same
having
time.
Gone to Lala a couple times, it's too hard to get to all the shit.
Well, Coachella had McCartney this year. I should have went to that, man. Should have saved my pennies, man. Went to saw McCartney, man.
Oh, Arctic Monkeys are at this fucking thing.
Yeah, I don't even
Band of Horses are at this thing.
Yeah. We tried playing all that indie shit on here, and it was terrible.
Of Montreal, who I like a lot.
Of Montreal's okay.
And
but again, you know, you could go see them at the Majestic
right,
or something.
Right, and a lot of these bands I've seen already.
You don't need to stand in the sun for 12 hours to see, you know.
I'm not going
to
stand for Cold War Kids. I'm not going to stand around
That's not really a great lineup.
Gomez is on here.
I like Gomez, but
going
I've
deep
him,
down in the list.
But I could see Gomez is playing at St. Andrews in a couple weeks. And I could probably walk up the night of the show and buy a ticket, and I might do that.
I'm sure you could see the Kaiser Chiefs.
I've never seen Kaiser Chiefs. They're okay. I don't
Ravenettes, you could see just the same money. So.
Mediocre stuff there.
That's what I'm saying. And at the top, and here's the problem. The top of there's Los Campesinos and shit like that.
Yeah.
There's plenty of stuff to see. It's just that the top of the bill is disappointing to me.
Yeah, I think it's disappointing to everybody.
I could give a flying toss.
They had Radiohead last year, which is kind of a thing that they don't tour all that much. And, it's always a big deal when they play, but not, you know, they're not around, and you know, these other bands, like who's really into the Killers now?
No one.
Like, I mean, they had two albums that did well.
Are we?
But
Joel, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Are we human?
Yeah. See, those are terrible.
Or are we dancing?
I don't even know that album did as well as people thought it was going to do. I'd have to look that up.
You know, you'll hear that goddamn song though on like a lot of TV shows.
Yeah,
stuff.
You do. You do.
Like Heroes will be playing that.
Well, I saw. I'll go this far. I saw Dylan.
Yeah.
You know, this is back in like the late 80s.
Never seen Dylan.
I saw Dylan in like 89. And like Dylan is another guy who kind of famously doesn't do stuff, you know. I think he's gotten better about that over the years.
But he's got 5 billion songs.
That's true. But he did do like, okay, like he did Like a Rolling Stone at the show I was at. You didn't know it was Like a Rolling Stone until like the second verse. Because he does weird arrangements.
Yeah,
and he has like he always has a different band, and the band is playing like he had the G.E. Smith band,
right?
Which was like the SNL band, and they were the Daryl Hall and John Oates backing band. That was the band, and so they didn't do the songs like they were on the albums. Right. So even when he did stuff like,
did you do the Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll?
I don't know what he. I think he did Rainy Day Women. I think he did
Sad Eyed Lady from the Lowlands.
He did Like a Rolling Stone. He might have done Positively 4th Street. I can't remember, but it was just like you were watching Dylan, and it was Dylan, and it was good, but it was kind of like. It wasn't really great because it didn't sound like Dylan.
The problem with Bob Dylan is you can't see him in 1965 anymore. You know?
Right.
That's when you would have seen Bob Dylan. That's when it would have been good.
I saw an interview with Coldplay, which I've seen Coldplay a couple times, but for the last time, I'm not going anymore. But Coldplay, they did this interview, which I really appreciated that he said this.
Yeah.
He said, we used to do Yellow, acoustic with like a piano and all that. And he goes... And then Michael Stipe got a hold of me and said, look, you can't do Yellow that way. People want to hear Yellow like it is on their CD.
With a big...
And he said, you got to do it like it sounds on the CD or no one wants it. And I go, that's a bright guy, Michael Stipe.
Well, Well, that's but R.E.M.
I go, that's a good guy.
But if you go see R.E.M., you're right. They have a million songs, but they'll throw in enough.
Sure, they do a couple.
You know.
I've seen their set list. I've seen and they do not do what you might think. It's not as good. You know, it's a lot of stuff. I've heard some of their new albums. Oh yeah, you're right. Not good at all. So
wow.
Anyway, there's our music discussion. For
no,
the
I'm
Millennium.
I'll keep going.
Well, we're almost done with the show.
Oh,
that's my point.
Man.
But anyway.
Well, you're not a you've gone to Reading and Glastonbury.
I've been to Reading, Glastonbury,
but you won't go to Chicago
and the V Festival. Because I don't want to stand in the sun, man. That's what I don't want
to
do.
You'd prefer to stand in the mud.
But I was younger when I did that stuff too, and now, and I really,
I'm getting on the older
I really,
end of this.
Really,
yeah.
really wanted to see those the bands that
right.
I saw.
Right.
Like when I went to Glastonbury in '92, I went to see Carter the Unstoppable Sex Machine mainly.
Yeah.
Because I was going to see like the biggest show they ever did in their career, which it turned out to be, and I was like real into them at the time. Mm. And there was a whole bunch of other bands I liked in the '90s that were playing.
Right.
And in 94, when I went to Reading, I went to see Pavement and the Flaming Lips and those guys. And that was all real good. And
remember, what was the Pavement that, what was, the, yeah, which one was
well, it? The video for Range Life, if you've ever seen that, that's Reading 94. I'm in
right.
that video.
Was it the, when
you
was,
can see my head.
What Lollapalooza did they do?
They did the 95 Lollapalooza. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were promoting Wowie Zowie. But I saw them in between Crooked Rain and Wowie Zowie mm-hmm. at the 94 Lot Blues. It was great. And I also have a BBC radio broadcast of that show.
Wow.
Which is tremendous. But yeah, now if it was like, I don't even know who I'd want to see. Like, I don't even know who I'd pay $200 to watch, to be honest.
Wow.
Now. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm into bands, but I can't.
Well, that's
see
why
them.
If I'm going to pay any big money, it'd be to go to a festival like that.
I guess, but you see a bunch of guys. I don't know. I'm going to see Flight of the Conchords Friday for the second time.
Well, that's exciting.
I didn't even buy the ticket my roommate did, but I do like those guys, and it was a fun show last time. So
yeah,
I'll be seeing them, and I think Doves are coming at the end of March or the end of May, and I like Doves, so I'll probably go to that show.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Oh, music's lost a lot of...
Mm-hmm.
That's why I listen to the Beatles all day now. I really do.
Are you excited about the remasters that are coming
out? You know
out?
What?
I'm sure we're going to be talking about
there's
this.
There's not enough time. There's 3 minutes left in the show. There is fervent debate over the Beatles remasters.
Yes.
And so what they're doing, for those of you know, the quick thumbnail sketches, they're using the original 60s masters. In other words, they're not remixing them. What they're doing is they're taking the original mixes and they're remastering it at a higher sample rate for the CDs, and they should sound better. But what they're not going to do is go back to the original master tapes and remix them from the multi-track masters, which would make them sound even better, because they want to save the purity of the George Martin mixes.
Right.
So, based on that, while they will sound better than the existing CDs, they could go, like they did with Love and Let It Be Naked, and the Yellow Submarine reissue, where they actually went and they redid the songs from the original master tracks. They're not doing that for this release, and it is disappointing to me
now,
because I would like to hear those.
Is this not when George Martin's son is working on these?
No, there's some other guys. I don't know if Giles worked on this or not.
Yeah.
But they're also doing a Rock Band.
What about the guy
the
from
day.
ELO? Is he working on these?
No, Jeff Lynne isn't working on these. They have the EMI's in-house people are doing it. But apparently they're people that worked on like Let It Be Naked and stuff. But and by the way, I am now listening to, I have switched. I think we've had this discussion before. I'm now exclusively listening to vinyl rips of the Beatles now. I've switched. I'm that big
that's
of a nerd.
Faggot
all right,
stuff.
Listen, can you all play?
Right.
I'm going to call by his name. That's strictly for faggots.
Because I'm listening to a mono rip of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
I haven't cracked a nut in years.
That was
all right, Joel.
By the Mobile Fidelity Sound Labs and remastered by Dr. Ebbett Sound System.
Wow, are you a dork.
And downloaded in a FLAC format that I converted to MP3 to play at the gym. And it sounds better than the CD. Anyway, thanks a lot, everybody, for listening to the show.
Nerdlinger!
I really did nerd it up.
Don't worry. Next week when I discuss the Star Trek movie at length.
Oh, are you going to see that finally?
Yeah, it's going to be.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. At least we didn't talk about Andre's shit anymore after the last half of it.
Well, write in. Call in at 610-552-0746.
Yes.
We'll discuss the largest turds. King Kong Bundy's poop must be nothing compared
to
Andre's.
Do you want to hear about Beatles remastering or giant wrestler shits? You decide on the next Corey and Joel Radio
Show. We'll talk about Beach Boy remasters, and then we'll really get nerdy. All right.
We're out of here.